I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ to the house of the Lord, and what a beautiful day it is. And for those that were able to join us last night, we had a wonderful service remembering the church and remembering these latter days and the work that has gone on before us, that we might find ourselves in service here to the Lord. And as we recognize this time of year of renewal from the earth, the flowers coming up, we remember of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, that rose up and broke the bands of death. And we come today for one purpose, to remember Jesus Christ. We do this in remembrance of Him, as we have been instructed. There's a scripture by way of a call to worship that I'd share with you. Be familiar to many, if not all. In this day that we find troubles in our life, you may have those troubles in your life, like me. Or that sin, as Apostle Paul said, so easily besets me. I want to give you these words that we might find strength. From the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That is our promise. As the Lord has prepared a way, that He, when we come to Him and repent, He is always with us as we seek Him out. As we understand that He broke the bands of death that we might live eternally with our Father in heaven. And I'm reminded, speaking of Joshua in the fourth chapter, Joshua turned to 12 priests as they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant. And God stopped the water and they walked over dry ground to the other side, and those 12 priests were told to pick up 12 heavy stones, and they placed them up on their shoulders and walked them to the other side, and they compiled them there in a pile of stone. And they were told, when your children ask what this significance is, you tell them of the love that God has for them, that they could cross over to the other side and do that in remembrance of what God has done for you. And so today we come in remembrance of what God has done by putting a cornerstone in our life in Jesus Christ, by putting the rock of revelation in our life, that we can point others to that as a memorial of God's love and His care and compassion for each one of you. I look forward to our opportunity today that we come together in this time of worship and pray all that we do brings that honor, praise, and glory to our Father in heaven. Let us join together in singing of hymn number 383.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee now, prayerfully considering, rather we have made enough preparation for Thee in this hour to come. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that that great Spirit may come and attend us today. Bless our brother Jim, who is to bring the message, and may it be a challenge unto Thy people, Heavenly Father, that they may know that Thou art truly still their God and that they are truly still Thy people. Bless our brother who is to preside. We pray that Thou would bless Ed with wisdom, give him direction, and lead this service, our Heavenly Father, as Thou would have our brother lead it. Dear God, may all of us realize the bounteous blessings that Thou hast given us. Forgive us of our foolishness. Forgive us of our sins. Now we ask that Thy great Spirit may come in attendance today. In Jesus' name, amen.
For an oblation message this morning, I want to read from you section 59 of Doctrine and Covenants. Nevertheless, thy vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and all time. But remember on this, the Lord's day, thou shalt offer thy oblations and thy sacraments unto the Most High, confessing thy sins unto the brethren before the Lord. May the Lord ask his blessing in the reading of his word. You bow with me. I greet and merciful Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy beautiful day and for all the things You provided for us that sustain us in life and give us hope and happiness in the gospel. I pray that You would be with these monies that are collected this day, that it would be used for wise and purposes, that it might be used for worship and house and joy and for because it's oblation, I pray that it's for use for the poor and the needy, as they will always be with us, as You have told us. Father, I thank You in all things, and I ask it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My brothers and I wish to welcome you this beautiful Sabbath morning. There's nothing like spring when the sun starts to warm the earth and we have the beauty before us. Most of us came this day because we went in through the waters of baptism. And we know that the first Sunday of the month is the day that we come in special remembrance of that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made for us. And we see this table before us. And those of us that are members of this branch know that the words are written right on the front of it. Do this in remembrance of me. And that is why we're here this day, to partake of that sacrament on the first Sunday of each month as a reminder to us. Last week, we celebrated Easter Sunday, the day that our Lord and Savior broke the bands of death and rose. But I would like to take us back a little farther in history of that event, to the week of Passion Week. Now, before we do this, we need to remember, if we've forgotten, that the Jewish day always starts at sunset and goes through from the sunset to the sunset of the next day. So their Sabbath fell from Friday night into Saturday night at sunset. And Good Friday would fall from Thursday evening till Friday evening. Now that day, and you can read it in all four of the Gospels, they refer to that day as the day of preparation. But we're going to go just a shade bit farther back into Thursday. We know that it was coming up Passover time, and that Christ and the disciples were worried about where they were going to have supper that evening. And Christ tells them to go into the city to find a place that they might be able to sup together. And they find a place, and they have the Last Supper. All of us are familiar with the painting depicting that supper. Now, exactly what time that supper started, we don't know. But we know an awful lot happened that evening. It probably went from Thursday into definitely Friday, past the sunset. But our Lord and Savior broke bread and served it to the people, or to the disciples. And he poured the wine and served it to them. And they would always do it in remembrance of him. But some other things happened during that supper. We know that he talks about he's going to be being betrayed. And what is unique is, who's the one that asked? Is it me? And that was Judas. And the Lord tells him, yes, be about what you're going to do. But one other thing happened in there is Simon Peter, who loved the Lord and would do anything for him. But the Lord said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. Peter didn't believe he'd do that. But we know the story. Now, after that supper, they come out singing and go to the groves, or the olive groves first, and then they go to Gethsemane. And our Savior asked the disciples to stay there while he went a little farther to pray. And we all know the story. He prayed that that cup might be taken from him. And he comes back, and his disciples have fallen asleep. And he's a little upset with them. And he goes back and prays again. And he does that three times. And when he comes back, the disciples are asleep again the third time. And he lets them sleep for a while. Now, we don't know how long, but I can't believe it was much more than a cat nap that he let them have. And they're leaving Gethsemane. And I believe by this time we are definitely in to the day of preparation, into Friday. Because the sun has set. And as they leave Gethsemane, here comes Judas with the servants of the high priest. And he goes up and kisses our Savior. And he is immediately taken into custody and bound by the servants. And we kind of know more of the story. I'm going to have to skip part of it. But they take him before the chief high priest, the elders, and the scribes of the church, of all people that would do this to our Lord and Savior. And they're really looking for what to convict him of. And basically, if you go checking, our Savior is guilty and accused of three things. The first being, he associated with sinners. He loved them. And we know when one was about to be stoned to death, what did our Savior say? He who was without sin cast the first stone. Nobody picked up the stone and threw it. And what did he say next? Go thy way and sin no more. Brothers and sisters, that is what our Savior tells us daily. And yet we fall short time and time again. What is the second thing he's accused of? Performing miracles on the Sabbath. Healing the sick. Which our Savior did do. But I don't believe that was work for him. And the third and final thing. He's accused of blaspheming by saying that he is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. And what's he say on that one? That he's not sent here to condemn, but that we might be shown the way and through him return to our God that created us. And we know that they're taking him, and it's still night, it's still dark. And three times Peter did deny knowing or having involvement with our Savior. And when he did it the third time, immediately afterwards, the cock crowed. So we know this is daylight on the day of preparation on Friday morning. And he is very mournful and sorrowful for that. that he had pulled this off and done just as the Lord had told him. They take Christ before Pontius Pilate, because they couldn't kill him. They wanted the Romans to do it. And in the process of doing that, even those servants of the church beat and mocked our Lord. Pontius didn't want to convict him. But that day, the people chose Barabbas instead. So he washes his hands of the whole thing. But the soldiers take him, and we know the Roman soldiers are cruel and brutal also. And they beat him more. So when you hear it said that we're partaking of the bread and wine, or said that we're taking the broken body and spilt blood of our Lord and Savior, we know what they're talking about. Not only did he probably bleed from all over parts of his body from being beaten, but they had to mock him by putting a crown of thorns on his head. And if you've ever been around those type of thorns, you can't seem to handle them without them sticking you. And then, what do the soldiers do? They nail him to the cross. I've stepped on a nail as a child. Nothing hurts worse, and that was a little bitty nail. And the nails they used had to have been a good size to go through the body to hold him on that cross. And yet he went through that for us. For years, I've wondered a lot of things about that. Why did they call it Good Friday? That seemed kind of wrong to me. But I've done some studying on it and some research. And one of the common explanations is that the word good originally meant holy. So it could have not just been called Good Friday, it could have been called Holy Friday. When our Lord went to that cross for you and me. And we all know that he had a body just like you and I. He felt that pain. Just as you and I would have felt it. And we also know that he could have called legions of angels. There's a song, it's not in our hymnal, but it's probably one of my most favorite. And it's titled, or at least I believe it's titled, He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels. But he died alone for you and me. Now, there's three different versions, I think, of that song. And the one I liked best was the one that Ronnie Smith always sang. And a lot of you are new to the branch, but Ronnie was of this branch years ago on the hill. And he could sing that song a cappella with no music accompaniment. And it couldn't help but touch you when you'd hear it. I was supposed to be in charge of the communion Sunday at Buckner one October 4th. The week before, we got locked out, and we had to quickly hunt for a place to worship. And it was right over here at the high school. And I know a lot of us at that time wasn't really sure what was going to happen with this branch. And at that point, I don't think any of us ever envisioned a sanctuary as beautiful as this one. But as many times before that, when I was been in charge at Eden Heights and other places, I had asked Ronnie to sing an intro of that before the service. Well, we got locked out before I could call Ronnie and tell him we'd found a place. He was calling me. He says, "What are you going to do for your church service at Buckner?" And by that time, we had made arrangements to look at the high school and to see if we could use it. And I told him he was still on. That was the last time that I ever got to hear Ronnie sing that. I sometimes wished I could have got a recording of him singing it to have it played at my funeral. Because our Savior could have called 10,000 angels. But he loved us and died for our sins that we might be forgiven. It has been said in some of the writings of historians that I have found that he was taken to Pontius Pilate probably about 8 or so in the morning. By 9 o'clock, he was already convicted and was headed to the cross. Remember, this is Friday, the day of preparation. The Sabbath starts at sunset. The historians think that he probably died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which gave them time for Joseph of Arimathea to place him in the tomb. And back to the thing on Good Friday, that name. One of those historians is by the name of Strain, and he has this to say. He says, he doesn't think the name Good Friday is trivialized. And I quote, he says, "For those people who have a Christian faith, it is a good thing that Christ died for us." A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were over across state line on the Kansas side. And we went past the church, and on their board, they had a saying. Well, it really wasn't a saying. It was almost like a math problem. And it had a 3, and then the word nails, N-A-I-L-S. And then the plus sign, and then the number 1, and the word tree, T-R-E-E. Then it said equals the number 4 and the word given. That is true. Because of that old rugged cross and those nails, our sins have been forgiven. Because our Savior took them. Then they go through the Sabbath. And then it comes to Sunday, their first day of the week. And if you study in Luke or in John, I like the way it's worded. But we know that Mary Magdalene went to that tomb. And what was there? She was met by the open door and 2 angels. And when she leaves running, she runs to who? Peter. and one of the other disciples. That's the way the scriptures word it. And what do? They go running to the tomb to see for themselves. I don't know if the other disciple had longer legs or was younger or just faster, but he got there first. And he stopped at the entrance to the tomb and just looked in. But what did Peter do? He came running up and he ran right in to the tomb. And what did he see? If you look in John, the 20th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, "And the napkin that was about the head, not lying with the other linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself." So that head wrapping, that napkin it was in, and if you want to know more about that, go back in John and read about Lazarus when he comes forth from the tomb, how he was wrapped and how they had done wrapping. But when I read this part of it years ago, I wondered, why do they explain it this way? What does that mean that the napkin is separate? And this was over probably up close to 40 years ago or more. But we began to study and read on it. And as best I can find out is that one of the Jewish traditions back then was that the master of the house, if he sat down at the table to eat with his family and for some reason had to get up and be called away for whatever reason, that if he had his napkin laying there wadded up, the servants knew that they could clean the table. But if the napkin was folded, it meant that the master was returning. I think this was explained by John just that way, as an example and a reminder, in even the simplest of terms, that our Lord is returning. Let's bring this up a little more to our day. Why were we baptized? Well, if you read in the inspired version of the Bible in chapter 6, we know that God is talking with Adam and explains to him, because of the fall, that this is the only way that he can return, that he has to go through this baptismal service. And we know, if we go into the Gospels, we know about Christ was even our example and was baptized by John. But I would like to read from the second book of Nephi. And this is some 550 years before Christ is even here. In the 13th chapter, I'm going to start with verse 7. "And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and with and where and witnessed after, unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showeth unto the children of men the straitness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter. He having set the example before them. And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And then from our modern scriptures, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 76, we celebrated last night the organization of the church on April the 6th, the anniversary of that. But on April 6th, 1830, that happened. But we need to remember that 60 days approximately after that, Joseph started the translation from the King James to the inspired version of the Bible. One of the gifts that we have that other faiths do not have. Almost 2 years later, they're still working on it, and it's February 16th, 1832, and they're translating some scripture from the King James and rewriting it as we have it in the inspired. And this is a testimony of Joseph and Sidney about the experience that they had. And I'm going to start with verse 5a. And again we bear record, for we saw and heard. And this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who come forth in the resurrection of the just. And that's where we hope to come forth, not in the resurrection of the unjust, but in the just. They are they who received the testimony of Jesus and, didn't just end there, and believed in his name and were baptized after the manner of his burial, being buried in the water in his name. And this according to the commandments which he has given, that by keeping the commandments they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins, and receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power. Those are the reasons why we are close communionists. And we ask if those who are here that aren't members, you are more than welcome. We appreciate you coming, but would ask that you not partake of the sacrament. That is an agreement, a covenant between those that have gone into the waters of baptism and had the elders lay their hands on them and confirm upon them the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we should always remember that covenant that we made at the water's edge. Another word for covenant is vow. And several years ago, I was curious about the, I was reading, I don't remember exactly which of these verses, about vow. And I started trying to research all the places that it's written and key words on that. As far as I've been able to find, I can only find it 25 times in the scriptures. But I would like to read a couple of them as a reminder for those that have made that covenant. From Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, the 21st verse. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin of thee, or in thee. And one from the Doctrine and Covenants, from section 59. This was given on August 7th, 1831, 16 months after the church was organized, still while they're translating the Bible. Verse 2G, nevertheless, thy vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and at all times. We even have a hymn that we sing, hymn 131, verse 5. I would love thee, I have vowed it. On thy love, my heart is set. While I love thee, I can never my Redeemer's love forget. I pray that that is going to be true for all of us, that we might always remember. In a little bit, the priesthood will come forward and remove this cover. And then we will kneel, and our pastor, Tony, will read that prayers on the bread and the wine. And I would humbly ask that you remember and pay attention and listen to those words, that we might truly always remember that covenant that we made. And we made that because we believed that our Lord and Savior did die on that cross for us.
Let us join together in singing hymn 277.
Father, who art in heaven, it has been a great joy and privilege to gather into this, your house, this day, to remember thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that great sacrifice, and even that great resurrection, as our brother pointed out. And that truly that he lives and he wants to live within the lives of each of us. And Father, we know he can. If we would simply just remember and to live our covenant that we have made with thee in the waters of baptism. And so it is, Father, as we leave here this day, may that be the desire of each. that not only to remember, but to live our covenant, and to serve Thee and to endure to the very end. And Father, as we leave here, this place, this day, we would ask that You might put a hedge around Thy people, that as they go into the world this week, that they might have Your armor on, and to withstand the fiery darts of the adversary, those distractions that might be thrown at them, and that they might be strong and courageous, and that they might stand up for the truth and share the light of Christ and that hope which was within their lives. And so it is, Father, we would ask that You might bless each family as they depart here this day, and bless those that could not attend. And be with each one till we meet again, is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.